Hello friends, Denny Pruto here. In this short lesson I want to address a second objection to the idea of a sermon having one main point. The objection is simple. If any given text of Scripture has more than one point, then a sermon based on that text of Scripture also ought to have more than one point. In addressing this objection, I turn to Psalm 100 as an example. Listen to the psalm. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. Again, since Psalm 100, like many other texts, presents more than one point, a sermon based on Psalm 100 also ought to have more than one point. Notice the objection is that the sermon ought to have more than one point. And I'm talking about a sermon having one main point. There are, in a sermon, subsidiary points, but there is always one main point presented by the preacher. In Psalm 100, when we speak about the psalm having different points or presenting different points, we usually think of the psalm setting forth different topics. The topic of worship, the topic of the Creator, the topic of redemption. Listen to the psalm again. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Verses 1 and 2 present the topic of worship, or the subject of worship. Notice verse 3. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Verse 3 presents the topic of God, the Creator. And we could rightly speak from verse 3 about God as our Creator. But this is simply a subject or a topic. Verse 4 also sets forth the topic of worship. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. The topic, again, of worship. And then verse 5. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. The term loving kindness is actually the term covenant love, and it has to do with God's covenant love in redeeming His people. And so it's proper to speak on the topic of redemption from verse 5. But notice that there is presented here a series of topics. And when we speak on Psalm 100, very often we will list a series of topics. The topic of worship, the topic of God the Creator, the topic of redemption. But when we do so, we are really forming more of a teaching outline than a preaching outline. The preaching outline presents complete sentences, complete ideas set before the congregation. Let's look at Psalm 100 once again. Verses 1 and 2. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. What is the subject presented in verses 1 and 2? Well, again, the subject or the topic is worship. But now, what do verses 1 and 2 tell us about worship? Verses 1 and 2 tell us that we ought to worship the Lord with joy and gladness. So, worshiping the Lord with joy and gladness would be the central idea presented in verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2, therefore, have one main point, worshiping the Lord with joy and gladness. Let's add verse 3 and put verses 1, 2, and 3 together. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that He Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. What is the subject of verses 1, 2, and 3 taken together? Verses 1, 2, and 3 speak about worshiping the Lord with joy and gladness. What does this text, composed of verses 1, 2, and 3, tell us about worshiping the Lord with joy and gladness? Or, why should we worship the Lord with joy and gladness? Because He is our Creator. In other words, the one main point, the central point of verses 1, 2, and 3 taken together is this: worship the Lord with joy and gladness because He is your Creator. Verses 1, 2, and 3 have one main point. Yes, there are subsidiary points, to be sure, and there are subsidiary ideas, but there is one main point set forth by verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's look at verse 4. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. What is verse 4 about? Again, verse 4 is about worship. What does verse 4 tell us about worship? We ought to worship the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. In other words, the central point of verse 4 is worship the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. Let's put verses 4 and 5 together. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. What is the point of verses 4 and 5 taken together? Well, let's first look at the subject. What does verse 4 and 5 talk about? Verses 4 and 5 talk about worshiping the Lord with thanksgiving and praise. And what does verse 4 and 5 tell us about worshiping the Lord with thanksgiving and praise? Well, we should worship the Lord with thanksgiving and praise because He is our Redeemer. Remember, the word loving kindness is the word covenant love. And covenant love has to do with God's covenant in redemption. And God is faithful to save His people. And so, verses 4 and 5 speak about worshiping the Lord with thanksgiving and praise because He is our Redeemer. Now let's take Psalm 100 in its entirety. When you look at Psalm 100 in its entirety, yes, there are several topics which the psalm covers. We've already mentioned that. And you could list the topics covered in Psalm 100: worship, Creator, Redeemer, etc. But when you just list topics as points in a sermon, you really have more of a teaching outline. Let's take the psalm together now and ask the question, what is the psalm about? Well, the psalm is about worship, and worship with joy and gladness and praise and thanksgiving. Verses 1 and 2 and verse 4. You notice that verse 4 is parallel to verses 1 and 2. And why should we worship God with joy and gladness and praise and thanksgiving? Because He is our Creator and Redeemer. What a point we have! A central point. A point derived from the psalm. Worship the Lord with joy and gladness and praise and thanksgiving because He is your Creator and Redeemer. If I were to preach on Psalm 100, I would take this as my sermon point, the one main point of the psalm: worship the Lord with joy and gladness and praise and thanksgiving because He is your Creator and Redeemer. People of God, worship your Lord with joy and gladness and praise and thanksgiving because He is your Creator and Redeemer. This is the central point of Psalm 100 and becomes the one main point of a sermon based upon Psalm 100. Yes, Psalm 100 covers many different topics. This is true. And other texts of the Bible cover several different topics, or may cover several different topics. But this does not obviate the fact that a given text of the Bible has one main point. This is a hermeneutical principle to which we cling tenaciously. Every scripture text in the Bible has one main point. And since this is the case, when we approach a sermon also ought to have one main point. Therefore, the objection raised against preaching a sermon with one main point, since a text does not have one main point, falls. And we see that it falls because every text of Scripture does indeed have one main point. Thanks for listening.